Okay, it's working. Sweet. Welcome to the stalling part of the show. Oh, that went down the wrong tube, of course.
I'm joining here for some.
How are you? Morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Gosh, yeah. Now I've got a throat tickle. We'll get that out while we wait for people to join us.
Okay.
But it's fun.
Talking to you from Vancouver Island, and you're in High River, I presume, this morning?
Yeah. So you're what, an hour behind us then?
That's correct.
So I got you up extra early today.
Yeah. You did. Yeah. So I set my alarm and, you know, I've still got a bit of that. I haven't been on the road in a little while, like doing the early morning radio tour visits like we used to do, right?
So you think I'm like, people are used to talking to me early in the morning. This is actually late compared to normal. So
yeah. So I was like, oh, it's not so bad, you know? But I still set the alarm because I have that tendency to stay up late because I have a recording studio, like a home-based recording studio where I like to make my music. So of course I tend to stay up late, you know, tinkering in my studio on instruments and stuff like that.
When you don't have to, it's been this interesting sort of, because now that I work from home and being self-employed, we have this opportunity where we get to play in a world where time is irrelevant, right? And we don't have to set alarm clocks and live by, unless you've got something planned, like you can mostly shift your life with time being irrelevant. And it's an interesting place to be because it shows you so much how we're such, I don't know what the right term is, but it's almost like controlled by time in the rest of our lives, like the rest of the world. And so I don't know, we're gonna go deep on this coffee this morning.
It's interesting. Yeah, we have this.
So when you have to set an alarm, I get the feeling because you're just like, oh, right. No.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've all got this universal clock that we're kind of like under the domain of, I guess, right? But yeah. It's interesting, you know. I think time's a bit of an illusion, though, but how deep are we going to get this morning?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Next show, we're going to like deep thoughts with Ryan. Good morning, Cheryl. As people join this morning, please say hi in the comments. Let us know you're hanging out with us. If you're catching this later on the replay, please still say hi in the comments. We will see it afterwards and love to know that you're hanging out. But first questions first, coffee or tea? What's in your cup this morning?
Let me double check that again.
Are you healthy and it's water? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Right. That's like the old thing, musician's joke when we go on to do a gig, you know, if it was like a bar type thing or something, it's like, you know, my brother, I used to be my drummer in my band. I remember we were playing in Phoenix at a music festival in the summer one year. And he gave me as a gift, like this flask. And I'm not really, like, that's not really my thing so much, but I'm not a huge drinker anyway. But you know, I'd fill it with water because you're up on stage sweating for like an hour playing your set. Like you want to, you know, hydrate yourself.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, drinking water from a flask. So anyway, no, I've got peppermint tea with some honey this morning. So.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That's one of my favorite combos. Yeah.
Maybe I broke the coffee rule a little bit here, but.
No. I'm drinking Earl Grey today, I'll be honest.
Okay. All right. Well, it's good that we're both being honest here.
It's good. It's a good way to start. But yeah. Welcome to Virtual Coffee Club. I'm so excited that we get a chance to connect with you, Ryan, and have you come on the show and have some fun and introduce people, if they haven't connected with your music before, to give you a new audience to introduce that music to. And like we've kind of alluded to, Ryan and I have known each other for at least a decade, like at least, because time again is so, I don't even know what day it is half the time, but so at least a decade from our radio country music world. And Ryan is a singer-songwriter based out of British Columbia. And as we were saying before we went live, it has been a hot minute since I've seen you in person, and you've had a whole kid since I saw you last, and he's 3 now.
He is. Wow. Life changes. Right. And what an amazing, you know, amazing thing to have gone through in the last few years for me personally. Yeah. Like such a personal involvement. I feel like, it's just such a cool thing, as you know, like being a parent, right. It's just, for me, it's like opened my eyes up to a whole new part of life and an element that I didn't have before, obviously. And it obviously enhanced responsibility, but also, like, you know, wouldn't trade it for the world. He's a little guy, you know.
Yeah, and it's hard to describe that to people who haven't had kids or who choose not to have kids, what that feeling like, how impactful it is in the change of what you do, what you say, who you are, what you become, what all of those different pieces. Like it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you've got this little human that's watching your every move, right? And so you're thinking about, you know, for me, it's like, oh, you're thinking about that now and when you do stuff, right? But yeah. It's cool. It's so awesome. It's like just a magical feeling, I guess, is a concise way to put it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, when you look back at, because you've been in the country music game for a while now, and the evolution of what that looks like, it's kind of that reflective time of year. And so looking back, not even only in the past year, but in looking back at your career a little bit, how's that journey been for you? Is it still pretty fascinating?
Oh, you know, I'm still plugging away at making a legacy, you know?
Yeah.
it's the journey. Wow. I mean, that's like a big question for me. It's been quite the journey. My mind goes back to the first time that we met in High River. I remember coming out to Sun Country back then.
Yeah.
And doing a little show for you guys in your front, you know, welcoming area of your radio station there. And back then. And yeah, there's been so many of those little moments as my mind scans through them here over the years. And then even prior to that, before I was kind of doing, I guess you could say, like making music that I was, you know, had an intention to release commercially and share with people on the radio and all that kind of stuff. Like I had that early music bug when I was about 5 years old. I got my first guitar from my parents. I remember at Christmas, and just I was raised on an old it was an old Victorian style brick built in 1895, an old farmhouse out in the country. And I remember running down, you know, this old stairs with all the creaks and the stairs at 5 years old, and going down there and you see the Christmas tree, and then when we got to open the gifts, like, oh, I got my first guitar, you know. And that was super cool. And I guess you could say, I mean, I just never really wanted to put the thing down since that makes me think of Jimi Hendrix, you know. I remember not that I'm Jimi Hendrix at all, I'm not, but you know, like he apparently would walk everywhere around with his guitar.
Yeah,
he never put it down, you know. And so I kind of felt like that, at least in my own world, like I never want to put this thing down. I just, and it kind of has been a big part of my life, I think my whole life really. Just I had a song on, it was never a single, so I don't know how many people will know it, but Troy Kokel and I wrote it together, who's I know you know Troy and his wife Joni, and they're beautiful people and good friends of mine. And an album that I released a few years ago, and time does fly, as you're saying, it's probably a little more than a few years ago now, but it's called Bigger Than That, the album, but the opening song on the album is called Picking This Guitar. And that was kind of a bit of a autobiographical song about how my guitar kind of has played such a huge role with me in so many key moments in my life, like the first verse of the song. I'm thinking here, you know, it goes into like being in a truck bed when I was a teenager and the first time went to the movies and kissed a girl, you know, and then like all through these moments through my life where it was like, that was like a key moment. And my guitar was there with me at the same time. And thinking about the first time I drove down the road, and this is a later verse in the song too, where it talks about, seeing the crowd, like playing a show and seeing the crowd sing back the lyrics to one of my songs to me. And
it's like,
I know, right? And that's such like a such an amazing thing that you only, you know, it's like a first time thing, right? And then the other one I mentioned, that song, I'm just thinking back here because I haven't listened to that song in quite a long time, but it was on the radio, like hearing you know, the first time that I ever heard my song played on the radio, and that was super cool, you know. But I guess, yeah, my guitar was with me all those times I think of it. So music's played a huge part of my life, and you know, I think it probably always will.
Yeah. Could you imagine doing anything else?
I mean, there's other stuff I like to do. And as I've aged or whatever.
Matured.
Yeah. What's the euphemism for that?
Yeah.
I like matured though, but.
Grown. I feel like we like to call it growth.
Yeah. Growth. Yeah. It's like, what adjective can I pick here? Yeah. I think there's a lot, like as I've grown or whatever, there's a lot of things that I do like to do and that I like to experience. And, you know, life's such a big sphere of opportunity if you look at it that way. And it really is about how you look at it, I think, for me. So like what viewpoint you assume, I guess. And so, as I've gotten a bit older, I've kind of become a little bit less one track focused so much, because for me, it was to make it in the music industry, which has been a huge part of my life for many years. I found that, I don't know if I had to, but I used to tell myself I had to, but at least I found myself that I did become really one track focused a lot in my life. It was and you see this with a lot of, I can say a lot of artists I've seen over the years, just you get into that kind of, and I've been there, where you get in that kind of mentality where it's your whole life is steered in that direction, and everything's with this intention and purpose to share your music, kind of, right? And it's important as an artist, I think. I mean, we're creators, and life is built on creating, right? There's so many things that we can create, and so I think artists play a big role in society. But at the same time, there's a lot of life to live, and I've definitely had moments where I've looked back and thought, maybe back to high school or times like that, or even before that, because I started playing gigs and local fall fairs and festivals and on the weekends and stuff when I was 12 years old and was pretty young, I think I sacrificed a little bit of social life and just some of the kind of other things that, typically maybe, I would have done or gone through at that point in my life, because I was really focused on, where am I going to go, get a gig or or what song am I going to make this weekend or just stuff like that. So I think, just as I've grown, as we were saying, I've sort of tried to expand a little more, and I feel really good about that personally. It's been, whether it's been becoming, being a parent, or getting a home, educating myself and learning about other facets of life that are really interesting to me, modern technology or just studying people, there's so much to learn in life, right? And I just found for me, I got a little bit one track focused there for a while. But I don't want to take anything away from music in my life. Music is a huge part of my life. It always will be. But I think by expanding for me personally, my horizons in life, it's helped me as a musician actually, because now I have this new song I've written, Legacy, that I'm sure we'll talk about later, but it's just an example of where I'm at with kind of just, how looking at life from a new point of view, I guess, can really help me as a songwriter, because, the songs aren't always about, I'm going to crack a little kind of a joke here and say about being girl crazy. Cause I know you know my old song Girl Crazy.
Yeah.
Cause you used to play it years ago on the radio, there's a lot of themes that you could write songs about, over the years, when I was writing songs to be played on the radio, let's say, for example. And, that was one of them. And, there's other topics that we tend to write about too. Right. But I feel the great artists, are able to make a connection with other people, but to accomplish that, you really make a connection with yourself first, And so that's something that I've, had a focus on, and it's, it's just kind of rewarding for me personally, I guess. So I hope that answers your question. It's been a long way.
Well, I think the industry can be an interesting game, when you decide to step on the train or step off the train, and where you're headed and what the destination of success looks like for you. And I know that hearing, just in my long career in radio, when you can hear so much the difference in music when people are writing for what they think is a radio hit and when they're writing and creating music that's feeding their soul. There's two, and most of the time I can be honest and say that now because I'm not in the industry, but like when you're striving for that radio success world, the songs aren't as awesome. They just really aren't. And then don't get me wrong, there's still some really great songs that are being played on radio, but when you hear the other stuff that people are doing, and I think that's why I've always loved songwriter circles so much more, is because it's this raw, authentic, like vulnerable handover that's happening in a show that you just don't get in a highly produced single. Sidebar, but I think that's what I really loved about when I heard Legacy for the first time the other day, and I saw that you'd posted and shared your video from YouTube, and I sat and listened, and I closed my eyes and I listened to that song, Ryan, and it's so beautiful. Like, it's such a good song, and you can tell that you're writing it from this place of serving your soul and not serving others. And I really, really love that evolution for you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate that. And it's just a much more rewarding, I don't even want to say much more, it's just a rewarding experience. Really.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah. For me personally to, you know, to write songs like that. And it's honestly, it's something I've been doing for years. I have so much music that I've created over the years that, most, you know, many people outside of my close circle, you know, I've just never heard. If I think of old hard drives, I've got, you know, buried away with songs over the years that were written in different cities, and just, you know, and because the light of day only gets shone on a small fraction of those, usually, because the ones that get shared online or on the radio or whatever, so be it over the years, right? And so, but yeah, I mean, I think back to, you know, I just, going down memory lane here and thinking of when I was a kid and just these visions that I had for myself. And I mean, I started, you know, gigging really young, like pre-teens age kind of, and it started really locally with my parents helping me find gigs and book them and my mom pretending to be my manager and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, and just, love, you know, that. You do all these little games and stuff to try and get these gigs when you don't have a name built up yet to do that. Yeah. And it definitely makes some fun memories for sure. And, but you know, it was really like in the folk scene back in Ontario, cause I was raised on a farm in Ontario, even though I live out west now, but, and you know, I'm thinking like playing little fall fairs in small towns and going up to the Mariposa Folk Festival in really Ontario or the Ottawa Folk Festival or, and really a lot of those folky kind of festivals was, where I kind of got my start with the live element. Yeah. And, you know, there was a big scene back, you know, back then when I was in that whole circle, like, but I think of, sharing the stage with, as a kid, like with Serena Ryder comes to mind, who went on later to have a lot of success, of course. But, you know, back then it was, you know, we were similar age and became friends and just like, you know, we're playing these writer rounds at folk festivals and stuff like that. And we'd always bump into each other and it wasn't about, it was just a different vibe to me. I don't even know how to put words to it. It was just like, it was just about the music. And at that point I didn't have any kind of like, I guess I didn't have those considerations built up yet about, oh, you know, maybe I need to like do this thing or try this musically or whatever to, appease this crowd or something because, you know, I want to get my song out there more or whatever. It was just kind of like, you just made music and it was really liberating and free. And I found in those folky festival circles, like at least back then when I was doing that, like there was a lot of freedom of expression was really embraced that way, I guess, for me as an artist. So, you know, we'd go up and I would just play whatever song I'd written or whatever. And I didn't have any, maybe there was no form to the song yet. You know, I didn't have like this box writing going on, because a lot of songs do tend to get written in these boxes where you have this structure and it's kind of a bit... you know, common that way. But so I don't know, I mean, just having that sort of freedom as an artist to do as we want. And now, I guess nowadays with the internet, I mean, yeah, I can write a song.
I was going to say, with the evolution of modern technology, like going back to that world, it opens up a whole different gamut for artists because we can hear the whole album on Spotify in an afternoon. Or, I mean, when people used to like, you remember the day when you'd like couldn't wait for somebody's album to come out, whether you're buying it like cassette or a record or even a CD. Absolutely. And you want to read the CD note. Like, I miss CD notes. That's what I miss. But anyway.
So do I.
I want to read all the lyrics. I want to hear who you're thanking and who, like, those special people that made it into the CD.
Oh, yeah. Those were the days.
But I guess you could do that in blog format. But anyway, now there's this whole world where people can find your music who maybe would have never found it before. And there's this real, this switch in trend to how many streams people are getting and how many views people are getting. And it's not only driven by one medium anymore. No.
Yeah, totally. I totally get you. And I mean, I guess like a lot of things in life, there's pros and cons to the evolution of the arts and the internet, if you will, or whatever. I try not to pay too much. I've been there in the past, but I mean, I try not now to pay too much. That's probably why my music doesn't get a ton of views, I guess, because I don't pay a lot of attention to that stuff. I focus more on just like living life now and making music that makes me feel good. Because the one positive thing of the internet is that you can put it out to the whole world and it's there if someone wants it. But everyone can do that now too. So it's kind of like, I guess, what's that saying? Like cutting through the noise or whatever. Because everybody's busy and we've all got lives and stuff to do. So, you know, if you've got a 3-minute song or whatever it is, I mean, talking about time, I mean, that can be a valuable time for people. And why should they give them your time for their, you know, their time for your song or whatever. So I just, you know, if like my new song Legacy and other music too, that I like creating, I mean, if it makes someone feel something, I guess, to me, I mean, that's an ultimate goal for me, is to make myself feel something from my music. And then maybe someone else will too. And they'll want to listen to it. And that's really special for me too. I mean, I can sit now in my studio at home and, you know, come up with something maybe sometimes that I feel really happy about and it makes me feel good. Like I've recorded a piece of music or something, or written something maybe. And for me, that's enough. I mean, and then I like to share music, of course. And so, you know, I guess a cool goal is like, if it makes someone else feel something, that's all the better for me too. So I hope my music does that.
One, think of the power of a song, though, really. It's like, it's as powerful as a smell in my mind, in that, like, when you hear a song, it can take you to a place instantly. It's like a travel time machine. When you hear a song, it allows you to go deeper into thought process. Like, I really feel that when I listened to Legacy the other day, is just, I'm in this space where I'm also looking for deeper meaning to things. And so listening to Legacy, it's just like you start to think about, when you're listening to your song, you're just like, okay, what's my legacy and what does that look like, and how do I feel about who I'm being in this earth and this opportunity that I'm given in this time space in this realm? Like, what's the meaning of it? And it's not in a way like, oh shit, I have no purpose. It was just like, oh yeah, like, we all have this opportunity. Like, I found it very inspiring that we all have this opportunity to leave a legacy. And legacy is a word like success that can be defined a bazillion different ways, right?
Absolutely. That's super cool to hear there, Jody. I mean, you know, that makes me feel good, and I dig it. And yeah, I mean, if you think about it, like you were saying there, I mean, we all leave our legacy, whatever that is. I mean, there's different meanings for that word, but for me in this context, I guess it's just the actions that we take and the decisions really that we make throughout our lives, you know, reflect who we become. And so if we can keep that in mind, I guess, along the way, as we make those decisions, then, you know, hopefully that just helps us, you know. So I guess that's the power of music right there. I mean, right, if it can just be a little reminder sometimes, like, oh, you know, I would have used to done that, but now that I think about it, maybe that isn't like the greatest good for everybody around me or something, you know. And then, you know, that's, you know, it affects the decision you make and helps you leave your legacy, you know. So
do you have a favorite? I mean, this is super putting you on the spot. But in that song, do you have a favorite, you know, when you listen to a song, like a favorite line or a favorite moment or a favorite little snippet? Like, it as a whole is beautiful, but is there one little piece that is your favorite piece of that song?
Oh, life is like a melody with ups and downs and harmony. oh, I fucked up a time or two. I ain't always bulletproof. I think that's what I sing there. But, oh no, wait, I fucked up a time or two. Even I don't always sing in tune. That's what it is. And I love the little metaphors there with the melody and the harmony and the singing in tune. And that's really for me, like just a little, you know, kind of speaking metaphorically for life and just, you know, having been through a lot of different periods in my life, and I've had moments where I changed, and I can say that the music industry or I let the music or whatever change me, but ultimately when I take more responsibility and rise up to another state of being, I guess, I caused all that to occur. You know, like I made those decisions, whether it was partying too hard after playing the Calgary Stampede or some gig in the artist trailer out backstage or something, and just, you know, or whatever, like just doing different things throughout the years where it was like, you know, I could have played that cooler and left a better legacy.
I think we all say that about our past. Yeah.
You know, just all the different things that we individually go through and the decisions that we make. But I thought that little line, just to answer your question there, that little verse of lyrics there kind of nailed it for me. Like, you know, there was moments where I thought, you know, oh, you can do no wrong, or, you know, always singing in tune kind of thing, like meaning living my life the best way. But you know, maybe I wasn't, but it's about the changes that we make, I think, and how we can recognize things and then make that change. And I guess that's really taking responsibility for yourself, right, and for your actions. So I feel like that little part kind of strikes a chord with me. And
another music pun. Yay.
We're talking to a songwriter.
I know. I'm like, it's my favorite. It's my favorite. So where can people, we're going to throw the link up to YouTube after we're done being live here today so people can go and check it out. But is that the only place where people can find it at this point?
I mean, it's on all the various
music places,
music streaming, okay, you know, and download platforms
like Apple Music and Spotify and all that stuff. Okay,
yeah, Spotify, Apple Music, you know, YouTube is where the music video is. So, okay. I personally
do a lyric video, so I think, like, I don't know, I like though, that's like live CD notes, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, because it's got the lyrics on the video too. Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, I like that. I mean, I guess that's another positive of the internet and music amalgamation these days, right? Is we can you know, with that, like you said, the CD liner notes, right? You can share the lyrics right on the video. So yeah, if you type the song name in on YouTube, you know, you can go watch it and let me know what you think. That's one thing that I'm not on top of enough, but, you know, people will comment on the video. Mm-hmm. I guess it, like, boosts the algorithm or whatever of the... so that it gets out there more. So you could always do that if you want, because then maybe more people will be inspired to make their own.
Share it on your social media, everybody. That's what we want to share it around. Well, and I think what's cool about it is, like, it's a really great sounding song. Like, I love all the melody pieces and all of the that you have through it. But it's also, like, I think I will forever be, I'm a lyric lover. Like, that's where songs can sometimes get me the most, is in a great lyric. And so just lyrically, it's such a beautiful song, but the music is beautiful too. Like, the whole thing, Ryan, it's just fucking beautiful. I just love
it. Thanks, Joe. Well, hey, I do appreciate that. And, you know, harmony, rhythm, melody, lyrics. Yeah. I guess, I mean, that's pretty much every element of a song. Right. And, I mean, yeah, when I was a kid, like, first starting to write my first music, like, my lyrics were like shit, you know. It was like,
much life experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, true. Yeah. And if I ever showed you, like, some of my first songs, you'd probably have to go home and try not to laugh. Right. But, I released an album actually when I was 13 years old, and back when we had CDs, and it's like an actual shrink wrap CD, and there was 500 copies that were printed. Okay. And it was just called Ryan. Like, I didn't have, like, Ryan Laird yet or anything like that. And it was like this purple CD cover, kind of looked like Barney or something.
To Jimi Hendrix. Didn't he have a lot of purple in his stuff? Channeling him.
But he was in a haze, though. He was in a haze. Yeah. But, my parents and I had seen a local newspaper article in the small town I was from for a local record producer back then, that, you know, and I didn't know about recording my own music back then. So we linked up, and I'd written, you know, these 9 songs, the first 9 songs I'd ever written all by myself. And I was like 12. And then I think by the time I was 13, like I met this producer and we got together and recorded these 9 songs. And he was a pianist. So the whole song, the whole album was full with a lot of piano.
Yeah.
And it kind of like had elevator music sound to it. Like, you know, we, nice. these songs, it was just kind of, but they were really, you know, my voice hadn't changed yet. Like I sounded like a soprano.
They were just innocent. Yeah. They were just
It was really high. So anyway, that was like the first, you know, kind of album recording I did. I've done a lot of them over the years. Some jazz, like I was a big John Mayer fan, like in my mid teens. Yeah. When he came out with his Room for Squares album. And that was one of those ones where I liked having the whole, you know, CD case in your hand and you could read who the producers were and who the songwriter. Well, John wrote all his own songs, but, and you know, and all the details of the music, the musicians that played on the album. And short side note, Nir Z, like a drummer that played on that Room for Squares album, he later, like I got to know him in Nashville. So he played on a song of mine called Wear Me Out from a few years ago. So that was super cool for me because I had
like
John Mayer.
Younger John, younger Ryan is so happy right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, I get to have him because I grew up in my teen years, like listening to that album and loving it. And I always thought like all the musical parts were so cool and so well crafted. And like the drumming was like definitely part of that. And so that was super rewarding for me. But yeah, I forget the original question, but getting to record all this music over the years was part of the journey, and I can't remember where that was going now. I lost the train of thought.
I'm so into your storytelling. I don't remember what I asked you either. So it's fine.
Hopefully
we don't have
to
follow structure anymore. We can do whatever we want.
Right? Yeah. We can swear on the air if we want.
It's beautiful. I know. It took me a long time to be comfortable to do that. And now anyone in Coffee Club will tell you I've found my comfort in swearing on the air.
Yeah, I even swear in Legacy. Right?
In the song. I know. I was all like, yes, F-bomb. Thank you. Yeah. Well, it's just, right, it allows you to step into freedom of expression. And when you're told you can't do it for most of your life, stepping out of that box is an interesting space.
And
a journey. Yeah.
And how interesting is that, like with back to the songwriting thing we were talking about earlier, kind of like when you're writing songs for the radio, let's say, or for a purpose that has to do with, you know, selling a song to the masses or something like that. Like I've been a Nashville songwriter for a couple decades. I had a publishing deal there where I wrote songs on Music Row. And, you know, you're trying to get these songs placed with these other artists, like, will Tim McGraw record my song or whomever. And, but it definitely forms sort of a mentality of box writing, I guess you could call it, where you're writing within this box of restrictions. And how liberating is it, to be able to just,
step out of the
internet music is just throw your music out there and say what you want to say, basically, right?
And nowhere in the world is you have to do or, right? I think that we get so covered, you got to do this or this, but when we replace it with and, like, write music that allows you to be out of the box here and still create songs that you can sell to this market over here. Like, do both, but just feed that soul. I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So make stuff that's meaningful, you know, has purpose. And yeah, I like that.
Well, I think we all like, no one wants to eat a sandwich with nothing in the middle. Like,
that's a little boring, isn't it?
Right? We wanted to sink our teeth into something. So there's my metaphor for you.
Yeah. I
like
Legacy
that. Is like a good layered pastrami. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I so appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. I'm sure we could talk for hours and hours. So that just means we'll have to continue to check in and have you come on the show more often so we can keep having more conversations and have some
Absolutely.
Fun. I always love hearing your thoughts and your perspectives. So.
Well, thank you. Likewise. And this has been fun. What a cool way to start the day, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's, I got my blinds on. I don't know if it's still dark outside or not. I think it's starting to get light. But
good old winter. It's like, are we still in the dark?
Yeah.
40 days. We're like 40 days away from setting later at night or whatever it is. I saw that on the internet the other day.
But. Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that's, and at West here, where I am out on Vancouver Island, we're getting a lot of rain lately, you know, so it's just
you guys have had some crazy weather this year.
Yeah, just lots of rain, so I can look out my window and get inspired to write gloomy songs or something.
Yeah.
Maybe the rain doesn't have
write
to
your
be
Christmas
associated
album.
With gloom,
yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm dreaming of a gloomy Christmas. No.
All right, maybe write some blues or something instead. I don't
Yeah.
know. Or like, have you ever listened to, like, I'm totally sidebarring for a second, but Sarah McLachlan's Christmas album?
I haven't listened to that whole album, but I love Sarah McLachlan.
You should put it on your list of, like, it's my favorite, one of my favorite Christmas albums, but it is probably the most, like, whenever I'm playing it, my son is always like, why are you listening to such depressing music? But it's just like, it's quiet and melodic, and she sings like River and like not completely traditional Christmas songs. Not all, I don't know. There's something about that whole feel of that album. If you did one like that, it would be awesome.
Okay, I'm gonna go listen to it, even though
Like
it's
a
not
rainy
Christmas right
day.
now.
It doesn't necessarily have to be Christmas music, but I don't know. Anyway, that's what popped into my brain in that moment. So I
Well,
said
she's
it.
got such a soothing tonality to her voice and her music, and
Yeah, I don't know. There's just that album is just unique. But anyway, I'm going to
yeah.
be mindful of everybody's time. So we will bid you adieu for today, my sweet Ryan. And again, we will link the YouTube video into our chat here, but you can find it everywhere you find your favorite music. The song is called Legacy, and I would love you to go listen and then come back and share some thoughts on what you feel from that song in the comments, and let's start a conversation around some legacy. I think that would be really cool. So,
That'd be super cool. I will definitely enjoy checking out those comments later.
yeah, well, I'll tag you so that you'll see them, and then yeah, we'll go
Sweet.
from there. But have an
Sounds
amazing
good.
day, and give Cassidy a big hug for all of us, your
I'll
little
do that.
sweetums. Oh,
We'll do that for
three's
sure.
such a fun age. Mine's almost 14, so we've been doing the online learner's permit testing because we're gonna go write that in a couple weeks, right? So
Nice. Well, all the best to you guys with that one. Exciting times it is, and
yeah.
I'll let the little guy know.
Okay.
And I appreciate you having me on your virtual coffee club here today. This has been fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right. Bye, everybody. We will see you back here Friday morning. We've got another special guest. I'm on fire this week with special guests. So Jocelyn is going to join us from the Cowgirl Code. So we're going to learn a little bit more about that and a cool one-day retreat that is coming up this weekend. So we'll see you Friday morning at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Bye, everybody.
You guys.